Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Thank you, John. Welcome, everybody, to the RTC Weekly Download. I am Jim Dolan. We're here today to play you some comedy, some variety, and it's an unusual program in the sense that it wasn't heard in the United States at all on local radio stations on the AM dial. This program was made specifically for members of the armed forces all over the world, and it was distributed through the Armed Forces Radio on records and played on their low-powered stations all over the world where the soldiers were doing their work. The interesting thing about these programs is that they did not have the same censorship that they had at home here for these because, hey, you know, if you're out there shooting at each other, no sense putting up much of a pretense. So you get a freer kind of a entertainment, something that's more like today. Not too much. Don't go too far that direction, but it's a freer type of entertainment, and the entertainers were easier going. So this is called Command Performance. The program, both programs feature, these are two 30-minute shows, they both feature Betty Grable, and we also have Jack Benny, Judy Canova, and Bergen and McCarthy. So here we go.
Performance USA, the greatest entertainers in America, as requested by you, the fighting men of the United States Armed Forces throughout the world.
Command Performance!
Presented this week and every week till it's over, over there. Get on the beam there, men. Here comes your personal radio show, Command Performance. Our opening letter is from Seaman First Class BRJ on a battleship somewhere in the South Pacific. He says,
Dear Command Performance, maybe I'm just an old deck swabber, but I've got a lot of young ideas. One of them's Betty Grable. I happened to read in the last Walter Winchell column I saw that Betty was keeping company with George Raft. Please tell Betty that we've got a nice big battleship. Why should she waste her time with a Raft?
Well, brother, you've got something there, and we've got something here, too. She's yours for tonight. Fellas, Miss Betty Grable.
Thank you, Paul Douglas, and hello there, fellas. I told Mama not to wait up tonight because I'm going out shortwave. I'm going out with all the fighting men in Uncle Sam's Army, Navy, Marines, and Coast Guard. And that's just about the biggest blind date any girl ever had. And I don't mind telling you boys that I'm carrying the torch for you. And so is that lady in the harbor back in New York. The studio here is so full of stars we could almost get along without light. So I'd better start answering your commands. First, a salute to the boys of Unit 855, United States Marine Corps. The address is a military secret, but the letter is signed by M.D.G. Jr., who hails from Culpeper, Virginia. For him and his gang, we proudly present Miss Judy Canova.
I hope you like it.
I had a sailor courting me for quite a spell, mid simple life of country folk. Now when he told me that he wanted to go away, my little heart hit almost through. I said, you know it's true, I love you best of all, so honey, don't you go away. Now just as he went to go, it grieved my heart, and so these words he heard me say.
Darn, that's pretty. Some of these days, you're gonna miss me, honey. Oh, some of these days, you're gonna feel so blue. You'll miss my hug, you'll miss my kiss, and you'll miss me, honey. When you go, feel lonely, lonely. I'm blue, only, only. For you, honey. Oh, you've had your.
your way. And that ain't hay. And when you leave me, I'm not real greedy. You miss her, little baby. I'm tired of being a scatterbrain. I'm gonna find myself a ball and chain. And when I do, you gonna miss me.
That was swell. On our show of March 22nd, a very amusing man gave a lecture to sailors in which he discussed the facts of life. Apparently, he gave such valuable advice that you men have called him back for a second triumphant appearance on Command Performance. Robert Benchley.
Thank you, Miss Grable. This is a little talk that I'm going to deliver tomorrow to a group of young women about to enter a short course in nursing. I just want to see what you think of it. I don't know. I may tear the whole thing up anyway. Young ladies, I'm going to say, if I say anything. Young ladies, I am happy to speak a few words of cheer to you on this your day of matriculation. Perhaps I shouldn't even have said that. Perhaps I shouldn't have started the talk at all. If you can't say a word like matriculation without... Well, anyway, I do feel, however, that a word or two of warning may not be out of place from an old man who has been very close to several nurses and vice versa. I like to think of us all as just one big family, don't you? First, there comes the problem of bathing in bed. I mean, of course, bathing the patient in bed. Let's look at it from another angle. Let's take the subject of changing the bedding after bathing the patient in bed. Now, as I see it, the problem is to get the bottom sheet out from under the patient without tossing him too far in the air or catapulting him on the floor on the other side. This can be done by calling his attention to something outside the window, counting 1, 2, 3, and then not changing the bottom sheet at all. He won't know the difference in a couple of minutes anyway. So. Now, once you've got the patient washed and the bed linen changed, there's a question of... I wonder if you'd like to hear something about... something about the work we're trying to do among our boys up at our little camp in Silver Lake. I don't think it's generally known that most of our boys up there are between the age of 16. We feel that by taking the boy at this age, we can get him into closer touch not only with his parents, his school, and his people, but also with the town in which he lives, the flag to which he pays allegiance, and to the town in which he lives. I was talking on this subject only last week at our uptown branch, asking for contributions for the camp. And at the conclusion of my talk, a little old lady, dressed all in lavender, came up on the platform and, placing her hand on my arm, asked, "What the hell did you do with all the money we gave you last year?" Well, I just laughed and pushed her off the platform. But I quote that only to show how much interest people are taking in our camp and how bright the future seems to be for it. Or did I say that? Well, anyway, to get back to what I was going to say to the young ladies who are training to be nurses. From my experience with nurses, I think that I'm right in making the suggestion that the nurse is likely to hang around the room too much. Is that right? I don't know. Nurses are often very charming young ladies. I say this entirely on hearsay. I never happened to draw one. I hear about these guys with beautiful nurses, but the one I usually get looks like whirl away with a cap on. Only kidding, Miss Tuttle. We now come to the subject of hospital bedroom equipment and its use. But I see that my time is about up. And so we shall have to postpone this section until our next meeting. Well, maybe the time isn't quite up yet, but it will be by the time I've announced that I'll be in the vestry at the close of this talk for consultation with any of you young ladies who still want to continue nursing after what I've just said and who would like to try getting this shoulder of mine back into place. In the vestry, and this goes for you too, fellas. What have I said?
Thank you very much, Bob Benchley. And now for two sergeants and eight privates in the field artillery, APO 957, somewhere in the Pacific area, command performance presents the world's greatest trumpet player, Harry James, and his music makers. Bag now, we find a letter from the gang at the U.S. Naval Air Station, Coco Solo Canal Zone. It is signed by ACH, who says, I suppose you're swamped with requests, and it will be some time before you get to mine, but I'll be waiting for Jack Benny. Well, ACH, suppose I refer your request to the heavyweight champion of microphonia, Don Wilson.
Thank you. Thank you, Betty. Thank you. Gosh, she's beautiful.
You said it.
And now, fellows, we bring you a man who used to be a beautiful baby, Jack Benny.
Say, Don, when I smiled at Harry James, you see how worried Phil Harris looked?
Oh, yeah.
Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking, and Don, I like that beautiful baby introduction. Was that just a lucky guess, or did you have authentic information?
Well, Jack, when I was over to your house for dinner the other night, I took a peek at that old family album of yours.
Oh, Don.
And I must say, you were a gorgeous infant.
Were you really so good-looking?
Well, I don't want to sound hammy or anything like that, but for the first 17 months of my life, I was a length ahead of Robert Taylor. In fact, I won 4 blue diapers.
I can imagine.
Say, Don, I'll bet you were quite a healthy-looking kid yourself, weren't you?
Well, Jack, I don't...
I can just see you as a baby, Don, bouncing your mother on your knees.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can hear your mother singing to you, "Rock-a-bye, baby, on the treetop."
Oh, she sure did.
That tree must have been a redwood. Well, anyway, I'd like to be a baby again. I really shouldn't keep talking like this, but I was about the cutest little Dickens in Waukegan. In fact, people from all around used to come to my father's meat market just to see me.
Meat market? Why, I thought your father ran a clothing store.
Well, Don, it was a combination meat market and clothing store. On Saturdays, we used to run a special, a pound of hamburger with 2 pair of pants. Oh, went over very big. I remember one time...
Hello, Jack. What are you talking about?
We're talking about me. Don just happened to mention that he saw my family album and that I was a beautiful child.
You beautiful?
Yes, I was. Not only that, I developed very quickly. When I was only 3 months old, I had 4 lovely teeth.
Well, you're right back where you started from.
We should get laughs like that on our own show. Always killed me. Now, listen, Mary, I have a full set of teeth right now. And with the exception of a little argument I had with a cab driver in Toledo, they're all my own.
And what's that price tag doing on the 3rd molar?
Don't be funny.
Say, Jack, did I hear you say that you had an argument with a cab driver in Toledo?
Yes, but of course that was years ago.
Well, what was the fight all about?
Oh, nothing. He just happened to say something I didn't like, and he hit me. Otherwise, Toledo was lovely.
Say, Don, when you were looking through that album, did you see the picture of Jack's uncle on the big white horse?
Yes, I did.
That was my Uncle Beaumont, you know.
And did you see the tree in back with a rope dangling from it and that big crowd of men standing around?
Mary, my uncle didn't steal that horse. That was just a scene from a Western movie he was making called The Code of the West. What are you laughing at?
I'll bet he never saw the preview.
He did, and he was a fine actor.
Say, Mr. Benny.
Oh, hello. Hello, Dennis. I didn't see you.
Oh, I was around here. I heard you telling everybody what a beautiful baby you were.
Well, Don brought up the subject. I never mentioned it. Have you got any cute baby pictures, Dennis?
None where I'm facing the camera.
Oh.
You know, Mr. Benny, I wasn't a very pretty kid, but I was as smart as a whip.
Smart, eh? I'll bet you were.
All right, you can laugh, but when I was 12 years old, I recited the Gettysburg Address.
At 12? What's clever about that?
Could Lincoln do it?
All right, Dennis, we won't go into that, but if you were so smart at the age of 12, what happened to you in the meantime?
I don't know. All of a sudden, everything went blank.
That's what I thought. Say, where's Phil?
Oh, he's around here somewhere. By the way, Jack, I don't know whether I ought to tell you this or not, but Phil's pretty sore about that crack you made at rehearsal.
What crack?
You know, when you told him that if he didn't like it here, he could go out and get his own program.
Oh. Well, gee, Don, I was only kidding. I didn't mean anything.
Well, Phil took it pretty seriously, and he said he's going to leave you.
Leave me? Why, I made the guy. Gee. When I picked him up, he was demonstrating curlers in a drugstore window. Say, Mary, did Phil say anything to you about this wild scheme of his?
Well, yes and no.
What do you mean, yes and no?
Yes, he told me, and no, I ain't
going to
tell
you. I ain't going to tell you. All right, I'm not worried about it. I can get another orchestra leader. Matter with Harry James, that's bad, I suppose. Anyway, Phil ought to be loyal enough to discuss things with me before he takes any definite step.
Hey, Jack, here he comes now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hello, Phil.
Hiya, Jackson, how's the boy?
Jackson. You know, Phil, it's cute the way you call me that every week, you know. Say, what's this gag I hear about you getting your own program?
It's not a gag. You and I have been fighting so much lately, I thought it'd be better to call it quits, that's all.
Oh, that's silly.
Silly nothing. You're just tough to get along with, that's all.
Who, me?
Yes, you. You're always flying off the handle.
I am not. I'm sweet and lovable.
And you're always yelling and shouting at me.
Shouting at you?
And you're always losing your temper.
Why, you baggy-eyed ingrate, I never lose my temper, and you know it. I love you, you louse.
Oh, sure, sure.
Well, now listen to me, Phil Harris.
Gee, you think they were married.
Keep out of this, Dennis. Now, look, Phil, look. I'm not begging you to stay on this program.
Then get up off your knees.
I'm not on my knees. Anyway, Phil, there's no use arguing about it. You can't leave me because we've got a contract.
Some contract. I supply the orchestra, and when people throw money at us, I have to split it with you.
Oh, how often does that happen? Maybe once in a fortnight. And another thing.
Oh, Jack, what are you beefing about? If Phil wants to go, let him go.
Certainly.
You can get Abe Lyman to take his place.
Oh, that would be fine. Abe Lyman happens to be the cab driver that punched me in Toledo. That's all I need.
Say, Jack, you know a lot about music. Why don't you form your own orchestra?
Well, maybe I will. Say, I could organize a darn good swing band, believe me.
If you do, I got a swell name for it.
Never mind.
What is it, Mary?
Jack Benny and his Stinkolas.
Listen, Mary, I don't have to worry about getting a band together because Phil is only bluffing. If he went out on his own, where would he get a sponsor?
Don't worry about me. I've got a sponsor.
Oh, you have, eh?
Yeah, I'm going on the air for Macmillan's Corn Plasters.
Corn Plasters?
Yes, Corn Plasters.
Well, that fits. Half the time you're corny and the other half you're plastered. Anyway, Phil, if you're smart, you'd stay right here and try to be a little more... I'll answer it. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny, this is Rochester.
Oh, you, what do you want?
Are you planning to come home for dinner tonight?
Well, certainly I am.
Well, if you want something to eat, you better bring some food home with you.
What are you talking about? There was plenty of food in the icebox when I left the house this morning. What happened to it?
In the which?
In the icebox. When I left this morning, it was just bulging with food.
Well, the swelling's going down now.
Rochester, did you throw another party this afternoon?
Well, come to think of it, a few of my friends dropped in for some tea and donuts.
Now, listen, if you just served tea and donuts, what happened to all those lamb chops?
Well, I ran out of donuts.
Yes?
So we bored holes in the chops and dumped them.
That's fine. Well, what happened to the big roast turkey that was in the icebox?
Oh, that. That was first prize in the bingo game.
Well, that's the last straw. Now, you just see that there's some food in the house when I get there.
Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, say, boss.
Now what?
As long as you're coming home, will you bring my fan mail?
Yes, I'll bring it. Goodbye. Darn, that Rochester eats me out of house and home. Well, that's all for us, fellas. Good luck and give them hell.
Company. Now a very nice letter from a very nice sergeant at Army Post Office, number 803A at Suriname, South America.
Dear Command Performance, I'm one of the many listeners to your program for the fighting men of the good old USA. You know, we fellas can't thank you enough for the wonderful work you're doing all for us. Our favorite singer is Mary Martin, and we'll be patiently waiting and listening for her sweet and lovely voice.
Well, Sergeant, you don't have to wait any longer. Here she is. Lovely Mary Martin.
Thank you, Betty. And thanks to the sergeant and all the other men in Uncle Sam's fighting forces who have invited me to appear on this program. If the Bing Crosby Show is within your listening range, you've probably heard Victor Borger's Upper Language. It's a new kind of talk based on the idea that since everything is higher today, all the numbers in the words we speak should be increased by one. Wonderful becomes tutorful. Toupee becomes three-pay, and lieutenant becomes loot eleventh, and so forth. One of our latest song hits carries out this idea. It's called My Tutorful Little Loot Eleventh. With the assistance of the music maids and Hal, and Harry James Orchestra, I'd like to sing it for you now. There's a handsome lieutenant, and he's mine, all mine.
no word is high enough, no praise to the sky enough. So I had to raise all the words I want. He is much more than wonderful, so I at once I called him tuneful.
That's one more than wonderful.
In fact, he's just three, three divine. He is not tuneful, little Lulu Lebanon. And he comes from Timbuk Green. Beautiful little Lululemon. He's the only two five me. It's higher praises that he deserves, so I sing his praises in higher words. He is my beautiful little Lululemon, and he comes from Timbuktu.
Does he come from California?
No, no.
Does he come from 11th Street?
No, no.
Does he come from Washington, D.C.?
No, no. He comes from Timbuktu.
It's higher praises that he deserves, so we sing his praises in higher words.
He is my beautiful little Lebanese, and he comes from Timbuktu.
Well, fellas, old man time is giving us the high sign, and it looks like my blind date with you is just about over. And when a gal has been shown a good time, it's customary for her to express her appreciation by extending her date the courtesy of a goodnight kiss. I don't suppose a shortwave kiss can be very effective, but it's the best I can do right now. So here it is. Oh, Colonel. Fellas, if we didn't get around to answering your particular request this time, keep listening. Your letter is probably here in the bag. And take it from me, that battle you're fighting out there is in the bag, too. This is Betty Grable thanking you for the date and reminding you that Hollywood turns out a lot of pictures. But for you, Hollywood just turns out. Goodbye now.
Those letters, men, and their orders to us, because around here you're the GHQ. Keep on writing to the station to which you're listening, and Command Performance will fill your request. And listen, fella, for a time there, the Axis was getting pretty cocky. Right now, their worry is khaki. See you later.
USA, the greatest entertainers in America, as requested by you, the fighting men of the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance, presented this week and every week till it's over there. Pop to, mister, and get on the beam, for here comes that high-powered show for you high-powered guys in the AEF. It's Command Performance time, too, for you civilian workers and nurses. And for all our friends tuned into radio stations in Great Britain, New Zealand, Australia, Alaska, Hawaii, Puerto Rico, Guatemala, the Near East, and Africa. We got big business in the old Command Performance office tonight. And right now, here's your lovely chairman of the Entertainment Committee and vice president in charge of your letters, your mistress of ceremonies, Miss Betty Grable.
Thank you, Don Wilson, and hi, fellas. This is Betty Grable doing skirt patrol duty on Command Performance. Skirt patrol, that's Army slang. It means looking for feminine companionship. But I've picked up lots of Army slang lately. You see, I've been talking to a soldier friend at that great big Army camp near Los Angeles. I think it's called boot camp. Well, this boy's in the infantry, but I guess he's going to be in the cavalry. He told me he wants to be a gasoline cowboy and ride those galvanized geldings. But anyway, I'm speaking plain English when I say the command performance is really going out big again tonight. So big that you'd better take this first number and try it on just for size. For Sergeant C.W.S. and a certain platoon at APO 812, and for John Saint and the Devil Dogs of the Air, we bring you the Pride of the Big Smokies, that Ozark Nightingale, the Clown Princess of Hollywood, Miss Judy Canova.
Hiya, fellas. Hiya. Hey, wait a minute. Come here, Betty. You know something? I wanted to stand up by a glamour gal for a long time. You ain't got no more than I got. Just grouped a little better. Well, fellas, I just got back from a big bond selling tour with all the movie stars. All the gals started giving away kisses with each bond they sold. I wasn't doing so good, so finally I stopped, looked them all square in the face, and I says, "Boys, one kiss from me will put new life into you." One feller stepped up, he says, "I'll buy a $500 bond if you'll kiss my tires." Yes, sir. But you know, I really had a good time on that trip. I sure did meet all kinds of people. I'll never forget one town we was in. I was standing there with all the folks around me, you know, and some nice fella walked up to me and he put his hand in my pocket. I thought it was some kind of a game, so I put my hand in his pocket and made $20 on the deal. Yeah. But while we was on the tour, we stopped off my old hometown of Unadilla, Georgia. Good old Unadilla. Folks back there is getting ready for Thanksgiving, so I went out to my Uncle Ben's farm. My Uncle Ben, that's my stoop-shouldered uncle, Bendover Canova. No kidding, though, you know. Those folks of mine are really the salt of the earth. Why, in fact, my family down there is what you might call regular pioneers. Well, do you know they's one of the first families to cross this here country in a covered wagon? You could have seen the faces, you know why the wagon is covered. Well, sir, out there at the house when we sat down to eat, they brought on the turkey, you know. You should have seen them Canovas go to work. That's the first time I ever seen anybody get sparks from a knife and fork. You never seen people eat so fast in your life. Well, I leaned my head down to say grace, and when I looked up, Ma asked me what I wanted for dessert. That bunch can really eat. They had everything on the table, and then they started looking at each other. Boy, was I nervous. I was really nervous, I'm telling you. For dessert, we had Ma's specialty, a flaming pudding. Of course, they didn't have any brandy, so they used kerosene. It's the first time I ever got indigestion and had my oil changed at the same time. But there's just one thing I'd like to say about Thanksgiving with the Canovas, and I do want to say it right here and now. If all the turkeys in the world was laid end to end, that's the part I'd get. And now, fellas, I'd like to sing you a little song dedicated to the sweethearts of the men in the service entitled 2 Hours After the Crap Game, or I Can't Give You Anything But Love, Baby. Hit it, Professor. Rome wasn't built in a day. You have to pay for what you get. I will be here when you find me, so come and find me, my little pet. Yowly lowly, hey, oh. happiness, oh. And I guess all the things you've always found for G, I'd like to see you looking swell. Baby, diamond bracelets, ooh, worth dozen. Baby, till that lucky day, you know darn well, baby, I can't give you anything, but has anybody here seen my sugar? My little sugar. Oh, I can't give my sugar anything but...
Columbia Pictures and the musicians who give their services. Right here, men, I'd like to read a letter from a sailor named R.J. Wold. Dear Command Performance, up here in the North Atlantic, we never hear crickets or frogs, and it would be awfully nice some night when we go to sleep to hear those things again. Yes, sir, we'd really get a big bang out of hearing some good old frogs and crickets. Well, sailor, that's for you. Take a big yawn while our genius in charge of sound gets hep to the crickets and the frogs. Crickets and Mr. Frog. Well, fellas, not long ago, you called Freddie Slack and his orchestra with Ella Mae Morse to command performance, and they gave out with a sensational hit tune, Cow Cow Boogie. Well, since that night, Freddie has done it again. But the big thing in jukeboxes in America right now is Freddie Slack and his orchestra, Ella Mae Morse, and Mr. 5x5.
whether he's coming on or going. It's the 5x5. 5 feet tall and it's 5 feet wide. He don't measure no more from head to toe than it do from side to side. It's the 5x5.
Mr. 5x5 Sent Your Way by Freddie Slack and his orchestra and Ella Mae Morse. Our next star in command performance is not exactly 5x5. In fact, I guess Charlie McCarthy is more of a, well, 4x2. 2x4, I certainly fixed that. My only joke. So, for Sergeant Christie and 13 pals with that fighter squadron somewhere in India, for Major C.E.B., a former family doctor now at APO 942, and especially for a Brooklyn nurse now in England, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
That's nice going, Betty. That's 4x2. That's a nice hunk of stuff. That's that's pretty good, yeah.
Hello, Betty.
Hello, Edgar.
I suppose you're going to that meeting tonight.
Well, I sure am.
Yeah, what's going on? What's the meeting?
Well, there's a meeting of the American Red Cross, Charlie.
Yeah?
You see, Charlie, I'm studying first aid.
No. Mm-hmm. You, first aid?
Mm-hmm.
Well, paint me with iodine and call me a casualty. Oh.
I'll stop it.
Oh, it came on so suddenly, didn't it?
What's the matter?
Oh, just came over me right now. I'm a sick man. Oh.
You know, it's awfully good to see you again, Betty.
Oh.
Well, it's awfully good to see you again, too, Edgar.
Yes.
That's right. Just go ahead and let me die here. Just ignore me. Go ahead. I'm just neffing around here, that's all.
Oh, Charlie, are you suffering?
Uh-huh. Yes, but of course I don't mind suffering, you know, Miss Grable. It's just the pain I can't stand.
Oh, you poor boy.
Yeah.
Let me help you. Let me make you comfortable.
I got it bad, and it ain't good, you know.
There. Mm-hmm. I'll put my arm around you.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Oh, much better, yes. Now I got it good, and that ain't bad, is it? I think I'm getting delirious. I think I see an angel. Yes, I see an angel. Hello, angel. What you doing tomorrow night, dog?
Oh, so that's it. You're faking.
Yeah.
Charlie, you know the story about the boy who cried wolf?
Well, with me, it's the girls who cry wolf. Oh. But really, Betty, really, you know, I'm just as mild as a lamb. I'm just a lamb. Of course, right now, I'm a sick man.
Oh, sure.
All right, Charlie, if you insist, open your mouth and stick out your eyes.
Yeah. What do you mean, stick out my eyes? Nursey, have mercy. Is that the kind of stuff you learn in first aid class?
Well, not exactly, Charlie. Right now, we're learning about the various types of bandages.
I see.
I'm pretty good at it, too.
What do they call you? Wizard of Gauze?
Now, let me see.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. There's the roller bandage, the triangular bandage,
sure.
The upper bandage.
Oh, come, my pet. Please, let's not speak of such things. Let's discuss something more interesting.
Well, but Charlie, these things are very interesting and very important, too.
Yes.
In times like these, what else is there to do? Did you hear me? I said, in times like these, what else is there to talk about?
You did say that, didn't you? You're a Betty Grable, aren't you?
Yes.
I'm Charlie McCarthy, huh?
Yes.
Well.
Well?
Are you kidding? Oh, my little fawn, your eyes are like pools of limpid loveliness. Alas, I am a drowning man.
Drowning? Yes. Let's see. Artificial respiration, page 108.
No, 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 I don't mean that. No, I mean my heart is on fire.
Oh, superficial burns, page 176.
No, no, no. Can't you think of anything but thirst aid?
Well, you might do well to think about it yourself, Charlie.
Yeah?
Why don't you come over to one of our Red Cross meetings?
You think they'll let me in?
Well, of course. As a matter of fact, you'd come in very handy.
What could I do?
Well, we could use you for a splint.
Oh, I wanted to be your assistant, you know, at one of those first aid meetings. Couldn't I do that?
Oh, but I already have an assistant, Charlie.
Yeah.
And he's simply wonderful and so handsome.
Who is he? I don't think I'd like him.
Well, his name is Mortimer.
Not Mortimer, Snurd. Not that lame brain.
That's right. And he's right outside. I'll call him. Oh, Mortimer, dear.
Oh, my mama done told me. A woman's a two-faced.
Mortimer.
Yeah.
Mortimer, come over here. I want to speak to you.
Oh, gosh, gosh,
gosh. Oh, come here, Mortimer. I won't bite you.
I wish you would.
Mortimer, is it true? Is it true, Mortimer, that you're helping Miss Grable in her first aid class? Are you helping out at first aid?
Where?
Well,
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know. Darn you!
Well, tell me, how are you doing? I say, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm busier than a one-armed coat hanger.
Coat hanger, yeah.
I'm Betty Grable's patient.
Oh, you're her patient.
Yeah, she's my Florence Nightingale.
No.
Oh, yes, she is.
No. You don't mean Florence Nightingale.
Oh,
no. Guess again.
Night in Jersey City?
No.
I give up.
Well, it's Nightingale.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, now what is it?
Florence the Mockingbird.
That's fine.
Now, Mortimer, let's show Mr. Bergen how much you're learning about first aid. Now, let's suppose a man has a broken leg.
No.
What would you do?
Leg, huh? Front leg? Yeah, front leg. Well, if the leg is broken above the elbow, I'd rub it with some, I'd rub it with that, horse linum, I get some linum, linum, guess I'll have to shoot him, I can't say linum. I'm sharper than a gumdrop.
Yeah, that's fine, Mortimer.
Yeah.
Now, Mortimer, let's show Mr. Bergen how you helped me in the bandaging class.
Yeah, ma'am, yeah.
Now, stand right over here.
Just before the battle, Mother.
We're going to pretend you have an injured arm.
Yeah.
First, we take the bandage like this,
yeah,
and we wind it around and around and around and around.
I'm getting dizzy.
And next, we fix the sling.
Yeah.
I draw it gently under your arm, and then I take one end in one hand and the other end in the other hand.
Yeah.
There, like this. Oh, now hold still. Then I put my arm around your neck.
Oh,
what's the matter, Mortimer?
Oh, she tickles me, yeah. What's the matter? Oh, she gives me those gooseberry bumps.
Well, Mortimer, I see you've certainly learned a lot in your Red Cross work.
Yeah, isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
Last time you saw me, I was just nothing.
Yes, and look at you now.
Yeah, gruesome, ain't I?
Thank you, Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, and Mortimer Snurd. Command Performance is pleased tonight to answer the letters of Navy Bill Morgan at a port in Cuba, and a fellow named Roth on one of Uncle Sam's fighting submarines, and Charlie Demur and the crew over there in Hawaii, and still another Navy man named Rowell, whose wife waits for him in Newport, Rhode Island. And we're calling Lieutenant AMW in London with love from a girl named Alice. Here are two favorites of thousands of you, Kenny Baker singing Stardust.
Of twilight time steals across the meadows of my heart. High up in the sky the little stars climb, always reminding me that we're apart. You wander down the lane and far away, leaving me a song that will not die. Love is now the stardust of yesterday, the music of the years gone by. Sometimes I wonder why I spend the lonely dreaming of a song. The melody haunts my reverie, and I am once again with you. When our love was new and each kiss an inspiration, but that was long ago. Now my consolation is in the stardust of a song. And so beside a garden wall, when stars are bright, you are in my arms. The nightingale tells his fairy tale of paradise where roses grow, though I dream in vain. In my heart it will remain, my stardust melody, the memory of love's refrain. Memory of love's
Well, fellas, that old guy in charge of counting off the minutes just sneaked in here to wind up the studio clock and put us out for the night. But before saying goodnight, I'd like to drop in on Bill Craig and his buddies in Greenland, and then cut down to Panama with a load of love to Weston Wren. Thanks to Silva and Jones, who wrote in from Accra, Africa. Hello, Williams and the gang at APO 952. And love to the 18 dog faces who rode on August 12th from somewhere in the wide and blue. And Bradley at Fort Randolph. I'll send you that snapshot. Lieutenant Scheibel at APO 868M. Don't kid me. You know what you want. Hi there, DeMarco at 957. And Private Graham in Hawaii. And Matt Pagliasotti at 812. Appleby and you 18 men at the HECP in San Juan. Take it easy, cousin. We love the Marines. Hello, Foley and company at 836. Hello, Mac and the rest of the boys at Darien. Was that loud enough? And to all of you men all over the world, this is Betty Grable sending love and kisses from the USA.
Command Performance USA, the greatest entertainers in America, answering the requests of our fighting men, nurses, and civilian workers throughout the world, and saluting our partners in all the United Nations. Command Performance is presented by the War Department of the United States in cooperation with the Hollywood Victory Committee and Local 47 American Federation of Musicians. This is Don Wilson thanking you for the swell letters you send to Command Performance in care of this station, and until next week, saying, so long from Uncle Sam.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.